Please rise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this Easter Sunday is a portion of our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 24, verses 4 through 11. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who was delivered up for our offenses, raised again for our justification, fellow redeemed in his blood. It is a good thing you're sitting down this morning, because I have to tell you about the most amazing things that have happened to me the last couple of days. I can't believe my luck. First, I received this letter in the mail with a golden seal. It assured me that I may have won $10 million. All I have to do is order a few magazines from this place called Publishers Clearinghouse, and they'll come to my house with a giant check. I've already started ordering stuff from Amazon. If that wasn't amazing enough, I got a phone call this week as well, offering me a new extended warranty for my car. The guy said that my warranty had just run out. Now, how did he know? He told me that my car had been acting up recently. How did he know that? He just told me that if I read in my credit card over the phone, he'd take care of the bills. How lucky is that? Finally, if that wasn't enough, a guy from Microsoft called and said my computer was infected with a virus. I thought my luck had run out until the nice man from India told me that all he needed was my social security number and my credit card, and I could be rid of the virus. I didn't even know I had one. What a run of luck, hey? So you probably know that all these things are not true, right? Just because the envelope from Publishers Clearinghouse says I may have already won $10 million, that doesn't mean I really have or should expect it. There's a good chance you've also received the scam phone calls offering to extend the warranty of your car for a certain amount of money, or promising to fix a problem on your computer that you don't really have for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. There are many crooks and scams out there to defraud us of our money. They will offer us all kinds of good things at amazing prices. In the end, the best advice in dealing with these things is to remember, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Which brings us to the reason we're here this morning. We have gathered to celebrate and thank God for raising up his Son from the dead. Today we celebrate the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day rose again. But that's not all. Jesus' resurrection also confirms that all of our sins are forgiven, and that on the last day, Jesus will raise us up from the dead. I can't think of better news. Can you? So why aren't there more people here this morning? Well, that's because many people think this is just an elaborate hoax, a scam, a lie. In fact, when the news of Jesus' resurrection was first reported to his own disciples, they thought that it was just an idle tale, nonsense, foolishness. So is it too good to be true? Or is this for real? But let's start with the source, okay? This message of hope does not come to us from Publisher's Clearinghouse with a gold sticker affixed to it. This message isn't reported over the phone by someone in a distant land with a funny dialect. This message is related to us by God Himself through His Spirit, which is why we pray that the Spirit of God would bless us and open our understanding and increase our faith through these words. Amen. We can certainly understand the reaction of the women when they first came to the tomb so many years ago. All we have to do is imagine the scene. It was early in the morning, and with heavy hearts, they went to the tomb to finish embalming Jesus' body. It was a mundane and possibly stinky job, slathering spices over a cold, dead corpse. It wasn't something to get excited about. Until suddenly, it was. When they arrived at the tomb, they unexpectedly found the stone rolled away from the door of the tomb, which was odd, because they had watched two grown men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, roll it against the door of the tomb. So they went into the tomb, and they found that the body of Jesus was missing. Now, they had a full-grown, five-alarm fire kind of a problem. See, dead men don't walk away on their own. It was a perplexing problem. They must have been wondering, what is going on this morning? Where is Jesus? What has happened? And then suddenly it became a terrifying problem. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And so they had the answer to their questions. It was just that the two men who explained what had happened were not exactly typical. They were dressed in clothing that, according to the original, flashed like lightning. And this fact alone served to terrify the women so much that you read that they didn't even want to look up from the ground. They didn't even want to confirm what they saw was real. They couldn't even answer when the two men in dazzling clothing ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" If they weren't even remotely able to function, the message was clear. Jesus isn't dead. He is living. And so he's not hanging out here in the tomb. Who does that? Then, as if to shock them out of their doldrums, the man in flashing clothes said it as plain as possible, just in case they didn't understand. "He is not here. He has been raised." But how's that possible? I mean, it's one thing to break your arm, but when someone dies, there's just no coming back from that. If the women thought that in their hearts that this was all too good to be true, we can understand, can't we? After all, this kind of thing doesn't happen every day. Well, to be honest, it doesn't ever happen. They may have thought that it was too good to be true until the angel spoke again to nudge their memories. "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. If the message of the angels seemed too good to be true, that all changed ultimately when the women, as prompted by the angel, remembered Jesus' word. It wasn't seeing Jesus with their own eyes, which they did later. It wasn't witnessing a miracle. It wasn't hearing a voice thunder from heaven that confirmed it for them. All it took to remove any doubts about the resurrection of Jesus was simply remembering what Jesus had said. And the angel reminded them. So they would. Jesus had said that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and he had been. Jesus said that he would be crucified, and he had been. Jesus said that he would rise the third day, and the angel confirmed that he was not in the land of the dead, but in the land of the living. They knew that the first two things were true, and now they knew the third was also true. When people mock the resurrection of Jesus today, or when we wonder to ourselves, is this too good to be true? We need only return to the scriptures and see how the doubts of the women were relieved. All it took was remembering Jesus' word. As a result, they couldn't help but tell the rest the news that seemed at first too good to be true. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. We can imagine their excitement when they left the tomb, can't we? Well, their excitement grew exponentially before they ever got to the apostles, because the Gospel of Matthew reports that along the way they met Jesus in the flesh. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And so the women did what they were told. But instead of joining them to rejoice, upon hearing the message, the 11 found it all just too good to be true. For we're told, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." So what about it seemed to be too good to be true? Was it Jesus' word that seemed impossible? Was it the women telling them that seemed impossible? Was it the fact that they said they saw angels that seemed impossible? We can't say for sure, but the message of the resurrection seemed to them an idle tale. The word means nonsense, poppycock, foolishness. And they refused to believe the women. Later on the same day, the two Emmaus disciples reflected the dubious opinion of the 11. When they were pressed by the living Jesus, whom they did not recognize, they revealed their opinion of the message of the women. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Is it all nonsense? Is the celebration of Easter really just built on the back of a fertility goddess named Oster, as some have suggested? Is this all just an idle tale hatched by a few hopeful women? No. 1,000 times no. For you see, the same Jesus appeared to those disciples again and again and then again. He rebuked them for doubting the word of the Old Testament prophets who foretold this very thing. So do we need a talking to as well? Have we begun listening to the skeptics and the unbelieving today? Our fallen nature surely wants to believe it's all too good to be true. But that's because our natural minds are under the control of the old evil foe who wants us to forsake this treasure. It's the same part of us, our sinful flesh, that laughs at sinful behavior and dirty jokes. It's the same part of us that wants to live like the world now and maybe look into forgiveness later. Is it too good to be true? Or is the once dead Jesus really alive? Yes, he lives. And our entire faith as Christians rests upon it. The message may seem too good to be true until we listen again to Jesus' word, which is reliable, faithful, true, and powerful. Remember, it's the same Jesus who said to a paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." And when people questioned it, he said, "Okay, get up and walk." And he did. The same Jesus called out to the corpse in Lazarus' tomb, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came to life again and came out. It isn't too good to be true. He lives. Our hopes are built not upon a dead Jesus, but a living one. Hallelujah, Jesus lives. He is now the living one. From the gloomy house of death, forth the conqueror is gone, bright forerunner to the skies of his people yet to rise. Jesus lives, why weepest thou? Why that sad and frequent sigh? He who died our brother here lives our brother still on high, lives forever to bestow blessings on his church below. Jesus lives, and thus my soul, life eternal waits for thee. Join to him thy living head, where he is, thou too shalt be. With himself at his right hand, victor over death shall stand. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.